It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life, and may I say that it's a great life. It's a great life knowing the Lord, knowing that He loves us. In fact, He loved us before we loved Him, and we can rejoice today in knowing that we're on our way to heaven, and nothing can stop us or stand in our way from going to heaven and being with our Lord once we've trusted Him as our Savior. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll read starting with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord." Now the king wanted to know who had warned the king of Israel about what this king of Syria was about to do. He said, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha." He says there's only one who's for the king of Israel, and that's Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. And he goes on to say that he telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, now this is Elisha's man here, he was Elisha's servant. He rose early and he had gone forth, behold, and when he had gone forth, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master," now he's talking to Elisha here, "how shall we do? What are we going to do to get out of this?" He was saying, "We're surrounded." And he was telling this to Elisha, the man of God. Well, Elisha answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." In other words, Elisha prayed that he would open the servant's eyes and let him see something, that he may see according to the word of God. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, of course, we know the king of Syria, what we're reading about and what I'm speaking of here. The king of Syria had sent his people, his armies, and what have you. They were going to come after Elisha. And they had surrounded these two. They surrounded Elisha and his servant. Well, God was better than the king of Syria. He had sent his servants to protect Elisha. And the man of God asked God to open the eyes of his servant. And that's what I want to speak to you about for the next few minutes, is eyes opened. We see here in the section of Scripture what we just read, that eyes were opened. And this young man was scared, and rightly so. They were outnumbered. They were surrounded. But Elisha said, "Open his eyes and let him see that we're not alone, that we are protected, that you are our protector." You know, the natural eye is blind to heavenly things. God is everywhere, but sin, blinded eyes, do not see Him. Men are still evil, guilty, and fallen, and yet they do not see their own wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. People still need to know Jesus as Savior today. We think of this country as being a Christian country. Well, Christians may live here, but as we look around, we see that there are still people living in sin. Our job as Christians, our job is not finished. We need to be showing people the way to the Lord. Blinded eyes need to be opened, and there is a lack of spiritual discernment in the world today in this country. It makes a man base and dishonorable when the man or woman does not listen to the voice of God. Samson, as he was blinded, is a sorry spectacle. From a judge in Israel, he sinks to a slave in Philistia. Well, how many people and men and women in the Word of God do we see who, when they need to keep on keeping on, something happens to them? We see them turning and casting a blind eye towards spiritual things. But God has actually never left them. God never turns His back on those who turn their backs on Him. He's always there. He's always their God, and He's always their Heavenly Father. If they've trusted Him as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we have eternal life once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. The familiar verse, John 3:16. Well, there's a spiritual blindness, and this spiritual blindness keeps a man content with the world. He does not see how low and poor the world is. The things that he sweats and hurts for and sins for cause a sacrifice of heaven. Well, this sin, this spiritual blindness, places men in danger. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, it says this, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We need to go to the man of God today. We need to go to the women of God today. We need to go to the Word of God today and find out how that people can be led out of this spiritual blindness. We don't need to go to someone of the world, someone who has never trusted Christ as Savior, and ask their opinions or what they think. We need to go to spiritual people and ask them what thus saith the Lord. Not that they are the Lord, but that they have been in the Word of God. They have been with the Lord, and they know spiritual things as God has led them and guided them. As we look around today, we need to understand this. God alone can open man's eyes. We can lead the blind, but we cannot make them see. We can put truth before people, but we cannot open their eyes. This work remains with God alone. Now, some use artificial eyes. Others try glasses, telescopes, colored glasses, and so forth. They try all sorts of things, but all in vain. The eyes remain blind. Man has tried everything to feel good or look good or do good, but it's all in vain unless their eyes have been opened by the Lord. The cure is of the Lord alone. To give sight is the same wondrous creation of God. He alone can make the eye and the center of the faculty of spiritual vision, and that is God. He is the center. It is only brought through the Lord Jesus Christ that people receive sight, spiritual sight. The spiritual sight can only come through the Lord. Now, we cannot open the eye. God can. But we can pray for God to open men's eyes, just as Elisha prayed for his servant, as we've seen in 2 Kings chapter 6. Our text says in verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, it says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. When we hear of a person inquiring of God, when we understand that a person is concerned for their destiny, we should inquire of the Lord for them. We need to pray for them. Their prayer should call us to pray. In other words, when we have a person come to us and say, you know, I would get saved. I would ask Jesus into my heart, but I really don't know how. We need to pray with and for that person that God would open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, their heart. needs to be opened to understand that Jesus died for them. He suffered for them. But thank God he lives today, and all of us who trust him can go to heaven one day. The prayers of others avail much for us as we stop to think back. Those of us who are saved, and therefore you and I, should repay the blessing to the prayer treasury of the church, of the people who prayed for us, and ask God to lead us to the cross that we might see our lost condition. Well, why should we do this? First of all, it will glorify God to open their eyes. We need to pray with great expectancy, believing that he will honor his son. He can't force a person to be saved, but he can lead them to the cross so they can see the need in their lives, so that their eyes can be opened by seeing Christ. God does open men's eyes. He's done it in a moment. He did it in my life, and there's many miracles in the Bible that talks about the opening of the blind eye. Well, he can open eyes today. He can lead you. He can help you to see the condition that you're in. He can help you to see that you too can have spiritual sight today if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. In Psalm chapter 146 and verse 8, it says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and he even opens the eyes of those people who have named him a Savior." He gives more sight. We look into the scriptures and we look to him. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Well, that means once we're saved, we need to mature as Christians. We need to mature in the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to study the Scriptures, and we need to have our eyes, our spiritual eyes as Christians. We need to continue on in the light. Well, in Christ himself, we see that there are hidden glories. John chapter 12, verse 21, it says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." When we look to Jesus as a human being, first of all, he not only lets us understand that we can have spiritual sight in receiving him as Savior, but he also opens our eyes to the fact that we're lost and we need him to save us in order to go to heaven. Then after we're saved, we look to him that he will lead us and guide us into all truth, that we too can become a mature Christian and help other people find him as Lord and Savior. Why not bow your head right now where you're at? And first, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to bow your head and say, "Lord, I can't save myself." Let me say this while your head's bowed and you're praying. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. "There is none righteous, no, not one," the Bible says. All of us are sinners and we need a Savior. So as you pray, you need to ask that Savior to come into your heart. You can't save yourself. You know him, Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the Savior. And you want him to be your Savior today. Ask him to come into your heart. And you know something? He'll save you. He'll open your eyes if you come seeking him the very best you can by saying, "Lord, I want to be saved." And if you are saved, you need to be telling others about Jesus Christ, the one who can open their eyes and help them to know him, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.